out of the box this afternoon with the big news in the world of sports. We're joined by Gary Tagway of NBC Sports Boston. Hello, Gary.
Hey, Richie, how are you? Yeah, I know. I'm telling you, Bill Belichick is smiling because somebody else is going to get labeled with a cheater moniker. I mean, this is not good for Alex Cora.
No, not at all. For anybody who might have missed it, the MLB commissioner, Rob Manfred, put the hammer down on the Houston Astros, a one-year suspension for general manager Jeff Luhnow, manager A.J. Hinch, $5 million fine, loss of first and second round draft picks the next 2 years. And then within the last hour, ownership has stepped up and fired both the GM and the manager. And we're waiting for news on penalties and the reaction from the Boston Red Sox, because Alex Cora directly involved in what happened at Houston. And then apparently Gary brought those cheating ways to Boston.
Well, he's the guy. I mean, if you take a look at the Houston investigation, I mean, he's in the middle of it. He might have even been the guy that hatched the whole plan. So he was well aware of the system. And I think that it's going to be worse for him, because not only would they penalize him for his involvement in what happened with Houston, but then they're going to penalize him for what happened here in Boston. And I was just talking about it with our producer, Jeff Capitasto. I mean, it seems that the Houston situation involved playoffs with the Red Sox, as far as we know, does not involve postseason. So that allows the Sox to save a little bit of face. But, you know, I really like Alex Cora. I covered him as a player, and he's just a nice guy. And but you can't do it.
You can't do it.
They're gonna drop the hammer on him. There's one thing to steal a sign without technology and just pick up tendencies and all that. That's good old gamesmanship. But this can't happen, and he's going to have to pay the price. Do the Red Sox fire him? That I don't know. I don't know if the Red Sox have to have a clean slate. I don't know if I would go that far. But he's definitely gone for a year. I don't see how Manfred has to give him at least a year.
Yeah, it's a wild situation and still very much a developing story. Will this have any impact on their ability to bring back, or their desire to bring back, Mookie Betts?
Excellent question, and I don't think so, because I think that Mookie Betts is just looking for the highest bidder. I think it's as simple as that. I think he's going to play for the most money. I think that while he does love the South, and he built a home down, I believe, just in Tennessee, I don't think it matters who the manager is. I think he's going to the highest bidder.
The decision, if they make a decision following the heels of Houston, is that an ownership-level decision?
Oh, sure. Haim is not going to make that call. I mean, that's John Henry's call. If I was John Henry, I would not fire him. I'd say you're going to live with a suspension. And since the Red Sox are kind of in a rebuilding mode anyways, even though they say they're not, now they've kind of backtracked and said, we're always going to be competitive. Well, we all know they want a clear salary. We all know that they need to kind of retool things to prepare for Betts' departure, because I do think somebody's going to pay him more money than he's worth, if that's possible. And I do think you want to try to unload Price. And I think that their pitching staff is old, and they need to get younger, and they need to redevelop the farm system. So I think you can do that and lose a manager for a year. And I'd like Alex Cora as a manager. I would bring him back. But the bottom line with this, Rich, is that with technology, you got to lower the hammer, because technology has enabled us to do so much. And it's even overdone with review in the NFL. Everybody thinks there's too much review. There's too much work stoppage in all the games, especially in the NBA now, because of technology. So just because we have the technology doesn't mean we have to do it. And certainly just because we have the technology and cheating, we certainly have to come down hard on people, because let's face it now, it is so easy to cheat.
Yeah. Now, do you think they'll be content with Ron Renicky, the bench coach, essentially being the manager for the year, or will they look to maybe go out and hire an interim?
Well, I think they'll go out and hire an interim. From what I've heard is that he's a good bench coach, but he's not the guy you want to lead. So I think they'll – and then what do? You bring somebody in. I would bring in a veteran. You know, you got to bring in somebody that's seen the wars, that can come in and maybe calm things down a little bit. Because you know as well as I do, when it comes to being a baseball manager, it's 99% psychological. You got to bring somebody in with some experience that can say, all right, everybody, just calm down. You know, I mean, what's Madden doing? Where the hell is Joe Madden?
What's he doing? he's in California. He's in L.A. with the Angels, right?
Okay, he's with the Angels now. Yeah. But, you know, because I know he got let go with a couple. Yeah.
You know who's available? John Farrell and Bobby Valentine.
I don't know about Valentine, but I'd certainly give Farrell a call. I mean, I'd get him off his boat, you know, get him off his fishing boat and pay him to come down there for a year and just, like, just calm everything down. You know, I don't know. I don't think Renicky can do that.
We're talking to Gary Tanguay, NBC Sports Boston, here on Downtown. Well, personnel matters also dominating the Patriots, too. Josh McDaniels, it sounds like, you know, maybe if he had said the right things or caved a little bit, but that Cleveland situation, we knew it was pretty bad before, but now it sounds like you had to agree to all of this oversight by the analysis people, the staff people, and I'm sure McDaniels didn't want to be in that situation.
He doesn't want to be in that situation, but Josh is going to have to give in some areas before he becomes a head coach again. You know, I can understand not having to share the game plan or get the game plan approved by somebody. That's the coach's job. I get that. But I don't think that Josh is ever going to get an opportunity where they're going to hand the keys to the car. He's not Bill Belichick. He has been an offensive coordinator with Bill Belichick, and he's been an offensive coordinator with the greatest quarterback of all time. But no one's ever going to say, you know, you can be the GM and the coach too. That's not going to happen, and I think that's what he's looking for. So I think that's probably why Carolina and the Giants weren't interested, because he wanted too much control. And then when he got to Cleveland, it's just crazy. It's really too bad, because I think that Cleveland missed the boat, because I think Josh would do great with that quarterback. Great with that quarterback. But McDaniels is also going to have to – I'm not saying that he should have given in to Cleveland, but he's also going to have to give in a little bit too, you know, with some of these jobs. He's not Belichick.
Last time we talked with you back in December, you thought that there was no chance or very little chance that Brady would come back to the Patriots, and you suggested Mike Vrabel and the Titans might be a good landing spot for him. Has anything changed your opinion since then?
No. I know that Tannehill had that great pass, and he's doing a great job as a game manager, and his job is to hand the ball off to Henry and not screw it up. But can you imagine if Brady was on this team now with this running game and with his mind and with his leadership, they'd have a chance to win the whole thing. So I don't think it's crazy. I don't think that Ryan Tannehill is their quarterback of the future. I think that you could draft a quarterback of the future and you could bring Brady in for 2 years. And I think that his brains alone makes the team better, especially with that defense and especially with the running game. And you have to have Henry. You know, you have to have the running game to go with Brady. So I don't know how that affects the salary situation, you know, like whether they franchise him or whether, because who knows if he'll show up if they franchise him. But you got to pay the running back. And then if you can get Brady there, you know, and I think it's the best situation for him. I don't think it's a great situation for him to come back, Rich. The Patriots have too much work to do. Their offensive line has to get better. You know, Edelman, who knows what's going on with him? I know that he jumped on the hood of a car. That does not surprise me. I mean, that's just, you know, he got hammered, and Amendola said probably, and this is my guess, I bet you can't jump over that car. And Edelman says, bro, yo, you know, one of those deals. And next thing you know, he's in the Beverly Hills precinct. But I don't think it's a great spot for Tom to come back. Like, everybody says, oh, he wants to play for a winner, come back here. Really? I mean, the Patriots have some work to do.
Yeah. Do you think Bill Belichick wants him back?
No. I mean, let me put it this way. It's got to be at the right price.
Right. And for the right length of time.
And the right length of time. So, like, I know that I think Tom Curran was reporting this or talking about this. And, you know, Stid the Kid may not be ready this year. So do you bring back Brady again for another year or two? And, you know, because Garoppolo had more time to prepare under Brady. Do you, you know, keep – because it seems that Bill likes Stidman. So do you keep him around, let him become more accustomed to the system, bring Brady back? But Brady's not going to come cheap. And I know people have said, like I talked to all the beat guys, well, his options are limited. I don't care. There are owners out there that get stars in their eyes. We see it in all sports. When they have a star like Brady, even though, listen, he is at the end, they come up with the money because they want the name. So I think somebody will pay him.
All right, let me get to the big question of the day. How is it possible that the film you appeared in that's getting rave reviews, Knives Out, did not get nominated for Best Picture?
It's a crime, and I'm shocked. And now I have to cancel my flight. Yeah, I'm really surprised. Boy, it had a lot of buzz going up to it.
Yeah.
All the other awards, like the SAG Awards, and, you know, and the Globes is usually a pretty good indicator. But Sandler didn't get nominated either for Uncut Gems, and I heard he was fantastic.
Yeah, so. I heard that. But, you know, it's funny because they can you can have up to 10 nominees for Best Picture, and they had 9.
I don't know why. It's a great question. I have no idea because it was certainly worthy. I mean, certainly worthy. It probably wasn't going to win, but it was certainly worthy of it. I mean, people loved it.
Well,
look at what that movie did at the box office.
I was going to say the best revenge is having amazing box office returns in all these weeks it's been out, and it's still sitting in the top 10.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, Rich, how many times, when's the last time, you know, you sat there and said, hey, let's go see this movie? Never.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been years, you know, unless, you know, you're taking the little guy or, you know, you're going to see Frozen 2 or...
Oh, God. Not yet.
I, you know, my wife said the other day, there's not going to be a Frozen 3. I said, are you kidding me? There's going to be a Frozen 12.
Right. That's a license to print money right there.
It's a license to print money.
Who is on...
And Idina Menzel is going to be singing until she's 80.
You got that right. Who's on Early Edition with you tonight?
Well, with all these late-breaking developments, I mean, we've got John Tomasi coming in, talking about baseball, Lou Marloni. Shaughnessy's been a tough guy to run down. We may have to have him on tomorrow night. But we got a lot to do because we still want to talk about what happened with the Titans and what's going on with Josh. So we'll have our football crew in to do that. And Tomasi and Marloni will be going to cover the baseball. And Trenny is down at the Garden tonight. Not because she's on assignment, but she says, guys, I got these great tickets. Can I work from the Garden? And we said, sure.
Well, there you go.
That's the kind of shop we run, and that's why we like it.
There you go. Gary Tangway, NBC Sports Boston. Gary, as always, appreciate you squeezing some time in for us, and we'll catch up with you soon.
All right. Oh, by the way, Rich, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, you and I tagged. Awesome.
Oh, that was great. I love that movie. I loved everything about it. The music and, well, you know, especially as an old radio guy, I love the fact that they went and into the archives of KHJ in Los Angeles and got those old air checks of some of those legendary KHJ disc jockeys from the 60s and used those to set up all the music.
Tarantino was the best. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks,
all right,
Gary.
Dude, I'll talk to you later.
You bet.
All right, we'll see you. Bye.
Gary Tangway, NBC Sports Boston with us. Our Boston Insiders brought to you every day on the program by the Ground Round. Ground Round, happy hour pricing 3 to 6 p.m. Specials during games, great service, and amazing food at your locally owned and operated Ground Round on the Odlin Road in Bangor.